This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to another riveting episode of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is episode 99. What? That is so fun to me. Cannot believe that. I remember when my husband, before we started, said, I think before you start the show, you should have like four or five of them already recorded. And that seemed like such a lot of work. Now we're at 99. Crazy. And I'm so excited about the surprise party that you guys are no doubt planning for me when I get to 100. Thank you ahead of time. I love Anthropology, so keep that in mind when you're making your large purchases on my behalf. So listen, I wanted to tell you that since I have a little extra margin now that I have a producer, I want to offer you a tiny bit of weekly encouragement right to your email. So if you are not on the Mom Struggling Well newsletter list, sign up at momstrugglingwell.com. I promise I'm not going to email you a lot. I swear I do not have enough time for those shenanigans. I just want to pass along what's been encouraging me lately, what's funny, what's a mom hack, things like that. They're going to be short and to the point, and I'll make sure that you're the first one to know about anything new happening in the community, any sales, when the book club starts, if there's a meetup happening or anything like that. You do not want to miss out on this. I do not want you to miss out on this. So go to momstrugglingwell.com. Like right the second, you know you're always multitasking. Go there and sign up right now. Also, I wanted to tell you real quick about this week's sponsor, Jelly Telly. Listen, it's hot. You can only spend so many hours at the pool before you are sick of it and bright red like a lobster. I just want to tell you a great way to beat the afternoon heat and take a break inside and actually accomplish something of value is to watch a show or a movie together from Jelly Telly. Or reward your kids for completing all their summer chores with watching some Jelly Telly on TV. Every once in a while, when I need my kids to be super quiet for a meeting or something, I let them watch Jelly Telly for a moment on my phone, and everybody's fine, and I'm still a good mom. Jelly Telly is a streaming video app. It is the only one where your kids get to watch shows where God is real, His word is true, and there's no ads that make you crazy and make them think they need things that they don't actually need. Visit JellyTelly.com today and use the coupon code MSW in all caps. This is just for Mom Struggling Well listeners. You'll get your first week free so you can find your favorite shows on Jelly Telly. And you'll also get a free Jesus downloadable coloring book as well. So that's JellyTelly.com, coupon code MSW. Okay, the next item on the agenda. I need to press pause and have a meeting with my marketing department. That is you. Don't try to weasel out of this commitment. This is not the time to run to the restroom. I'm looking at you, sister. So many of you have babies who have not said their first words yet, and I have figured out a way to help them spread the news about the show. I know we all hope that our baby's first word is mom. My daughter's first word, she came to live with us when she was almost two, was agua, which was not what I expected, but agua is also a super good word. Like, water is kind of important, right? Anyway, for those of you who are teaching your tiny humans to talk, I would really appreciate it if you would not just teach them to say mom, but to also add struggling well to that. All this would require of you is that you would start referring to yourself as mom struggling well about 4,000 times a day. This will really benefit the word getting out about the show, because anywhere your sweet little baby goes, they will be calling for you. I envision all of Target could hear about the show if you would just have them call you Mom Struggling Well. They would scream it all night long. The neighbors would hear it. I mean, I just feel like this could really be good. They will then unknowingly also be part of the marketing department. I know it might be a long shot, though, because struggling well is kind of a mouthful for an infant. My five-year-old still can't really say his L's and his R's, but I think it is worth a shot, right? I can't see you, but I am just sure that you're nodding in agreement. Okay, so we've gotten the business meeting out of the way. Let's get on to my chat with Leslie Berry. Leslie and I are friends in real life. We serve together in the moms group at church. She is really in charge. I'm new to the role, so I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. She is eventually going to want me to actually contribute, but at this point, I just go to the meetings and eat all the food. So Anyway, I'm telling you, you're going to love Leslie. I just got back from a retreat. If you were seeing on Instagram that I was having the best time at the Moms Group Leadership Retreat. We stayed up until like 3 o'clock a couple times, and I am so exhausted, but it was fun. What I love about Leslie is that she's more excited about more things than just about anyone. She gets so excited that you accidentally find that you are super pumped about whatever it is too. In this chat, we talked a little bit about everything, really, from how to know yourself enough to even let your spouse know how to love you well, and whether or not it's even okay to try to know yourself. I think sometimes we feel bad about that, but I don't think we need to. We cover the importance of communication in marriage and how to cultivate contentment in your actual life. Leslie talks about what she's done to get past people-pleasing tendencies and what she does to stay on the healthy side of comparing ourselves with other women. There actually is a good way to do it. And also, I left in all the things I normally take out because she's just so darling that I just needed you to hear all the special noises she makes. Oh my gosh. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Leslie Berry, can you hear me? I can hear you now. Is it happening? I can't see you.
Do you need to see me?
I think it makes it better, but if you don't want to be seen.
Do you see me now?
Mm-mm.
Skype cannot connect to your webcam. Close other applications.
I'm going to minimize you for a minute.
That's so rude.
And you can still hear me so bad. What do I have to close? I wonder.
I don't know. Like, I see that face.
Gee, I see me.
I see you now, too. I love it. How are you?
You really are in your closet.
It's true.
It looks like you're or sitting in the floor of a department store.
Yeah, with all of my clothes behind me. Nope. If I was in a department store, the clothes would be nicer.
They would. No, they're beautiful. Handbags add flair.
Yes, for sure. So how are you?
I'm good.
Good. You've had a nice kid-free morning.
I did. I feel like I crammed a million things in. Need to put the headphones on? Do I need to put headphones on?
Are they plugged into the computer?
No.
Plug them in and let's see. Sometimes that makes the audio better. Those are some fancy headphones.
I mean, well, I brought them from Rob Berry. I feel like a rapper.
You look like a rapper.
Thank you. Been working on it.
Do you have any questions before we get started?
Are you so offended if I go get some coffee real quick, like pour me a cup?
Marginally offended. No.
Okay.
On, get it.
Okay. I'll be right a second.
I'm so offended right now.
Back! Okay.
All right. Yay. Well, I'm so excited to talk to you.
Let's do this. I just put like a million books and Bibles and stuff around me to reference whatever I need to reference.
Yes. And it probably makes you feel more spiritual.
Yes.
Good.
Anything I need for that.
Okay. Well, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Do I need to say my name?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
So my name is Leslie Berry, and I am a regular mom, but I don't know if that's a real thing. So I have 4 kids and 1 husband, and
it's legal.
Yeah, it's legit. So I'm right now currently staying at home. I used to work. So I worked for the first 5 years raising kids as a speech pathologist. Basically a speech therapist. Okay. I love little kids who can't talk right.
Okay.
Like from 3 to 5.
Okay.
It's like my professional thing. But I realized when I had kids that it was hard to think about what am I going to do with a small child that can't talk? And then what am I going to do with my supposedly normal kids?
Okay.
So I just got worn out. So the goal was to pay off debt. And we did. Paid off my student loans and car. And stayed home after I had my 3rd.
What was that transition like?
Well, I think that, you know, how you're always, like in life, I'm always looking for the next thing, right? Like, okay, that's going to be it. Okay, that's going to be it. Like, it was intense and, like, I feel like childhood. Like, hey, I'm going to grow. When I get to junior high, that's when I'm going to feel, I don't know what something in my heart that I obviously was looking in the wrong places for. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, no, it's going to be high school. Oh, no, college is the answer. Oh, no. Marriage is the answer. And so it's since I've had a relationship with the Lord and like Jesus has been like refining that mindset, there's still just a little bit of that in there. Like, okay, it's the stay at home mom life is where it's at. And so I've been there for about 5 years and it has been so stinking hard. I joke with my husband that I need to go get a job for a vacation.
No kidding.
Like, sounds horrible, but anyway, but I think that first it was good. I kind of have like, I go into things with gusto. Like when I got married, I was so fired up about it. And then I remember laying in bed about 3 months later and I was crying because I wasn't Leslie Martin anymore. Mm. And Rob was like, who did I marry? What's she doing? And I'm like, you don't have to lose anything. And I'm losing everything, you know, like.
Yeah. How did you work through that?
Well, I don't know. God, that's so long ago. Well, it's only 16 years, but I feel like that feels like a decade ago. I don't know. I think the process of changing my name on my Social Security card, like changing all that, was good. And just becoming an adult, like Rob was still, my husband works at a church. And so he, at the time he was in seminary. And so I was the sugar mama. Like I kind of took that role with gusto. Like, yeah, you need me to help you. That's how this works, you know? And so that didn't last long. Like, anyway, we found ourselves about 5-7 years later, just needing to revamp.
Did that like mess up some roles? Like, is that what you're kind of talking about? Like you said, it didn't really work.
Yeah.
What was not working about it?
Well, very practically, what didn't work about it was the fact that I was managing all the money because I obviously was the one with the paycheck that was coming in. And at the time, Rob was working with an organization called Young Life part-time, coming off of that and working for Starbucks. And his newfound love in life, because he decided that the ministry with high school kids was not what he wanted to do. He decided to come home after we were married and say, yeah, I just don't think that's going to work for me. And I'm like, oh, wait, 5-year plan. We're supposed to be working at a camp with kids,
okay,
raising mountain children. And that just didn't happen. You know, like granola kids. Mm-hmm. And so now here we are in Dallas. And so I guess I think about that and I laugh now. But anyway, what was the question?
I don't even remember. Oh, the roles just needing to kind of be changed after a while.
Oh, financially. Okay, thank you. Financially, I told you I needed a cup of coffee, like my second cup.
Got it.
It's like the second morning cup. And so, financially I was taking care of all the money and I thought I was killing it. And I would do this thing where I'd be like, my savings was, I would just like pretend like some money wasn't there. And then I'd forget to register it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was not doing a good job. And then Rob started kind of becoming more of a leader in that area. Mm-hmm. We switched churches, actually started working at a church. And so we were actually mentors in a newly married, pre-marrieds class. And Rob and I are like taking notes.
Okay.
Like the whole time we're like, who knew this stuff is genius, you know? Anyway. Okay. And so we just listened to a guy talk about money. It's the first time we had done anything like that. And Rob goes, I think I can do this. And I was like, I don't think you can. And I mean, I really had a hard time letting go of it, but okay. He has done a phenomenal job. And I think that was kind of the start of him coming out of some passivity and me letting go of control.
How does that look to let go of the control? Because it's hard because practically, like for me, I'm better at the details. And my husband is incredibly busy with his job. And so if he says he's going to do it, but he is very in the moment. And so he doesn't always think to do it because there's so many things going on in the moment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It kind of works for us, though. So we don't have like conflict about it. Anybody who knows me is going to be like, there's some conflict about it. But anyway, but I think as far as like me keeping track of where things are going, that works for us.
Oh, I totally. Yeah. I have friends that they're like, listen, that can't happen to my family. I'm like, get it, you know, but here's the deal. He was so far removed from it.
Okay.
And when he came closer to it, it's like, it was more of like, hey, I might have some more gifting in this area than you.
Okay.
And it was more of me like letting go of pride, being like, I'll let you try. And guess what? He found $1,300 unaccounted for. Now, granted, to my credit, it was a positive. I didn't know we had.
Oh, good.
Because I told you, like, used to put money away, like, but I didn't categorize it.
Yeah.
So at least it wasn't 13 in the hole.
For sure.
When he balanced the budget. So I think after that, I was like, it's yours, buddy. And I think it was just freeing to be like, okay. I don't know. It was one of the first times I'm like, I can let someone handle that for me. And okay. So, yeah. And I think we balance things in our home. There's not like, this is my job, this is your job. He does the laundry. Rob loves doing the laundry.
So good.
I've even been like, as a wife and as your helper in life, like, I feel like I need to at least ask. I would love to learn how to do this better. And he's like, no, I actually don't want you to. And so I'm like, so you're saying that if I don't, you're not like harboring. No, he is not at all. I actually don't want you to touch my laundry. And I'm like, perfect. Because at the end of the day, it just comes back to communication. Like,
for sure.
Great. And I love the details. Like, I need a clean counter. I need like clean spaces. Yes. But he needs like clean shelves. So anyway.
No, that is exactly how we are too, because I will stuff it. It's like Jenga inside of our cabinets. And I'm like, who cares? There's a door in front of it. But if something's on my counter for long, it is going in the trash.
Yes.
My husband doesn't want me to do the laundry either. He actually hides his laundry. He started just hiding it in the closet so I wouldn't touch it. Because I turn it all pink.
Well,
you know,
we all have our coping mechanisms.
Yeah. So.
I love it.
So, okay, let me just tell you why I wanted you to be on the show. You're just really quick to laugh. I love that. You're very funny. You're very real. And as people in leadership, you know, your husband is one of the pastors of our church. A lot of times that makes people seem really stuffy. And you guys are so out there in the best kind of way. And so I just appreciate you guys so much. So you're 40 now.
Thank you, Emily. Yes. Well, you so fired up about it.
You are. That's why I want to talk about it, because you are like the most excited 40-year-old I've ever met. And it's really good. Like, you said that first of all, I want to talk about what Rob did for the party. I loved the idea. Just practically, it's a great party idea, like what he did with all the friends and stuff.
So let me take that back. Like, part of our marriage story is just, I feel like one of the sweetest things in the Christian life that we've learned, like, and I feel like as we've grown up as believers, is that it is so important to feel known. Like, not, but like people to know me and for me to know who Rob is. And that may sound very basic, but let me describe this. So like, Rob, about 4 years into our marriage, decided for my gifts, he wanted to give us gifts that we could do together. So one of those gifts was a kite. He went out and bought two very expensive kites for me. I opened it in front of a group of friends and I could feel the room being like, oh, we feel so sorry for her. Like, I didn't know I wanted a kite is what I'm saying. And Rob was like so impressed with himself. He'd given his friends high fives in the back. Like, and I at that moment I was like, do we talk at night? Like, we don't fly kites. And so the next year he gave me a kettlebell. Do you know what a kettlebell is?
Yeah.
It's like a workout thing, which makes me think you want me to have more muscles. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? And that's not what it was in his mind at all. The next year he gave me a heart rate monitor, like, you know, put it on, check my heart rate as we're working out. We used to run and stuff like pre-kids.
Okay.
And so all these gifts are neat gifts. They're just not what I wanted. And so with Mother's Day, I've been trying to be very, I'm just like, you know what? Like, I can't expect Rob to fill my all cup. And I think as women, like, sometimes for these holidays, birthdays, Mother's Day, I'm like, that human part of me wants him to completely know me without me verbalizing it, which is not fair, you know?
Right.
And so I started making a list for him like 2 years ago. I'm like, hey, these are things I like, just because, hey, I've changed. Like, loving me is, it looks different than it did when we were just Rob and Les. Like, it is different now. And so,
yeah. I love that you're giving him that, I don't know, the freedom to not know everything you want ahead of time. We don't realize we have those expectations and it doesn't go well for anybody.
I think it's because we have conversations in our head and then we think they're real, you know, like, no. And so this year, what Rob did, and with a help of one of my good friends from college, was she was encouraging him, like, she asked me, she's like, what do you like? And so she started writing a few things down. And then Rob added a few things to that. And then we just invited, I just said, I don't want a party at my house, which was a joke last week, because he was like, hey, you want to straighten the house up for your party when everybody's going to come over to our house? I'm like, that doesn't bless me. No one wants to clean their house on their birthday week.
No.
And so they sent out a sign up genius. And really, honestly, five of my really good friends that know me in and out also were involved in this. And they said 30 was kind of easy to come up with, but the last 10 was really hard. But they just came up with 40 things that I like. And they ranged in price. Like, I love gum. So they're like, a sign up genius to buy Leslie gum. Sign up genius to buy her salt. I mean, what's so sad is half of it was food.
Okay.
Chips and salsa, a jar of like good dill pickles.
Okay.
I'm not pregnant. I just like them. You know, and like, I love Jane Austen novels.
Yeah.
I learned to read when I went to backpacking in Europe, like during graduate school. And
you learned to read?
I pretty much learned to actually read a full book.
Okay.
Traveling. I mean, who doesn't? That's what you're supposed to do in Europe. You're supposed to actually read like classical history.
There you go.
So there goes my education. So yeah, so I got like a whole collection of like all of Jane Austen's books, which people have to know me to know that like that's my thing, you know?
Yes.
Just really, you know, massages, like my hair did. I mean, I'm just like, I was overwhelmed and still am overwhelmed with the sweet things that people, chapstick. I mean, I don't want to buy my own chapstick and fancy candles.
Oh, like, I don't, so good.
You know, when I go to a store, I'm like, I don't want to spend $32 on a candle, but I want you, candle.
Yeah.
But I don't want to buy you. Like, someone needs to buy you for me.
I want you to fall in my purse and not get in trouble for it.
Yes. I always tell her, I'm like, I want that candle, but I just feel wrong buying it.
Yeah.
So someone else bought it for me and it feels so right, you know?
So. I love it. I just think that is such a practical, like, kind of a duh thing to do, but I've never heard anybody do it. And I think that's great.
Thank you. It came out of 16 years of lessons. Yeah,
hey.
I'm a duh. Like, these are things, it's the duh in life that that is hard, you know? Like, oh, I should have done that. I should have told you, or I should have known that about you. But we think our way is the best way, so.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so you've been talking about how you have a new lease on life. You just feel different now that you're 40. And is it that you have decided it's going to look different, or do you actually feel different?
Well, I'm not bearing children right now. So that's I feel like I look at my 30s and it was just that.
Okay.
We feel like our family's complete. So I get fired up to watch my kids grow up.
Okay.
Like, I get weepy. My boys are like, Mom, please quit crying. Like, like when they do sweet things, or like, God, I've been working on that for like, I don't know, 10 years and you finally got it. Like, that's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah. Can I just tell you that Jackson, it means so much to my son. Like, he's so sweet. And I know that that's, I don't know, I think y'all are awesome parents. And so it's got to be nice to see the fruit of some of that.
Well, and I feel like I've lost years from that too. So thank you for saying that. Anyway, so I think I'm excited to watch my kids. I'm excited for the next stage of their lives and getting to just be shotgun to it. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm excited about. And just,
You said that you are trying to figure out what you like from a long time of not really knowing. Why did you not know? And I think there's a lot of moms who feel that way, especially when you become a mom and a lot of times you kind of let a lot of that go. I think we either end up in two camps where we let it all go and we don't even know who we are, or we refuse to really engage in the motherhood thing because we're too afraid of losing what we think is important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm in that camp where I have to go, okay, I'm not the center of the universe. I tell my kids all the time, you're not the center of the universe. And inside my head, I'm thinking, I am. So you can't be. We both can't be. So anyhow, how are you learning what you like?
Okay, so I think the reason why I don't know, I think I've always struggled with this. I grew up with, like, my parents were divorced when I was really young. And so for what it was a good childhood. But I think what my part in just growing up and all that is, like, I was always trying to make everybody happy. And so when making people happy, that defaults to, I became a major people pleaser. And so I want to like what everybody likes. And even if I think something, I mean, I think about myself back when I was a kid, I was like, I wish I would have pursued this more, but I was too afraid what people would thought, you know, in a paralyzing kind of way. So yes, I've been through a 12-step study for this, guys. Okay. And if you can't go through a 12-step study, read Beth Moore's So Long Insecurity. Have you read that book? It's so awesome.
No, I haven't even heard of it.
So good. It's one of her old school ones. I think I read it like 6 or 7 years ago. But anyway, Beth Moore just kind of breaks it down. And it's about insecurity, which really, in the long run, is pride, because we're just thinking about us all the time.
Yeah.
Which is a game changer. So it's a great book. But anyway, so in that, I've kind of gone into like trying to figure out what I like, not because of what everybody approves of, or not because someone gave me a nonverbal cue of, that's weird. And I have to be okay with that. Do you know?
Yes.
And all that goes back to like who God created me to be. And I'm like, why am I so scared to be who he created me to be? And so about last year, Rob would be like, hey, I'm like, he's so great to be like, hey, babe, I want to come home and give you some time. Go do what you want to do. Mm. And that statement is nothing he did, but everything about me about, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know where I want to go. I don't know what's going to bring me life. It makes me want to cry. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do outside of this. And so, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that in a very like, I'm so self-giving that I just forgot me. No. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think I had a grasp on me. And so I actually, this last year, took a Strength Finder test. Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
It's seriously strengthfinder.com.
Okay.
Paid $10. And I'm like, I wasn't the girl that like took the test in high school. Our parents didn't roll that way with finances, like to figure out who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can afford $10 now that I'm 40, you know, let's figure this out, you know.
Now that Rob's controlling the budget, you know, you've got the $10.
Yeah. I just had to submit my request. I'm just joking. And so he actually was like, you need to do this. And I just did it for you. Go on your computer and fill this out. So figured out my top five strengths. And I was like, yes, that's okay. Who I am. And just okay. took another one and read some books on figuring. I read this book called Pure Pleasure by Gary Thomas. Yes. The best-selling author of Sacred Marriage.
Okay.
And I loved that for the stage I'm in, just because he talks about how as a believer, like you're always like doing things for others. You're always not in a prideful way, but like you're always thinking about the next thing. And then you feel guilt in taking time for yourself. Mm-hmm. Guilt in, hey, I really kind of want to make this area in my home look better because that makes me feel better. You know, like mm-hmm. anything you do to make that just is in you that you have desire to do. He's like, it's a great book because it gave me freedom to be like, because it makes you who you're supposed to be and makes you better when you are loving others and serving others, mm-hmm. you can do it better. And so his whole thing is he loves Starbucks lattes. And so that is his pure pleasure. And so Rob and I will be like, hashtag, what's your pure pleasure today? Like,
I love it.
And so you were asking, one of your questions was like, one of my pure pleasures right now is, have you ever had Nosa yogurt?
I love that stuff. It's amazing.
Am I even saying it right?
I think it's Nosa, but I don't know.
Okay. Lemon flavor or the salted caramel. Mm-hmm. Like that is a pure pleasure for me. I hate yogurt. Like I hate it, but I will eat fancy yogurt. Like yeah. Sign me up for expensive yogurt. And I don't feel guilty about buying it now.
You have standards. High standards.
I do. I'm not going to get a go-gurt. Oh gosh. Anyway.
Ew,
so.
No. Uh-uh.
And so anyway, and the fact that I'm not working right now, I never thought I'd have four kids. I really wanted to stop after one. Rob and I were like, we're not made for this. Like,
okay,
we're done.
So what happened?
What happened was that I didn't want to have an only child. I came from four. Rob comes from seven. So we both were pretty strong on that. And not that that's bad or anything, but for us, we saw value in adding. So uh-huh. we're like, we can do one more. Maybe it'll be better.
Okay.
And so we did that. And at the time we had our first child, we were just not in community, meaning like we didn't have people around us that were holding us accountable. I didn't really know a ton about parenting. Neither did Rob. And so by the time we had our second, we were in some good biblical community that were loving us well, helping us out. And it felt breathable.
Okay.
And I'm still working at this point. I'm like, hey, we can pay off some debt and maybe I can have a third. And so after the three boys, and they're all 3 years apart, which was hard for me because I wanted my kids close together. Mm-hmm. I felt like three was too far. And so it's been a personal mission of mine to bond them well.
Mm.
I'm kind of a stickler on like them spending time together.
Okay.
Coming home, like no play dates this afternoon. Like that's just kind of because I feel like sibling bonding is a big deal. And I want mm-hmm. them to love each other because after this showboat's over, like they have each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then God totally rocked our world through adoption. And so we adopted our fourth. Which I never, like, I feel like that's a story of my life. I never was a girl that had all these plans. I didn't name my babies. I just didn't. And so every step has been like, okay, let's do that. And so Proverbs 3 has been huge.
Okay.
You know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding and all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Like, it's like one of the cliche Christian verses. However, I think I lean on in all your ways, acknowledge him or lean not on your own understanding has been big. Like my understanding is what contentment looks like and happiness looks like two kids going to Disney, which is nothing wrong with that. you know, having a certain kind of home, like my understanding of what's going to bring me happiness is not what God wants happiness for me and joy and a true joy that is some people's plan and greatness. And that's wonderful, but it's not everybody's,
yeah.
You know, and that's joy for them. But God's like, I have something different that will breed more joy for you. And so that's where adoption kind of spurred out of. I wanted to actually do something radical with my life, and adoption, it's probably offensive to some people. And then we took an adoption class for Rob's sister, who was going through adoption and wanted to foster. And we signed her up for a class at our church, and we went every week.
To support her.
To support her. And I'm nursing in the back thinking, I mean, literally every week we would go and we would show up. Our kids were horrible checking in childcare. We were like, no, like, yeah, it was rough. And then by the time we're done, Rob's like, let's do this. Let's get two kids. And I'm like, he's like ready to like.
He gets really fired up.
He gets so fired up, yeah. Which is great. And he always says that I count the cost. And I'm like, ah, no, you know.
Yeah.
But what's good for us is we give each other timelines. We've just kind of worked well with that in our marriage. Like, hey, let's give it till the next 6 months. Pray about it. He's like, you pray about it. You are heavy front end. Moms. He goes, I get that. You're doing a lot of their legwork at the beginning. And he goes, I want you to pray that that's where God wants, if you're good with that. So he gave me a deadline. And then I remember towards the end, he was like, have you thought about that? Because if we get out of this bracket of time, we're just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And he was right. I knew that the further I got away from it, the further we wouldn't do it. And then it became this conviction. It was like laid on my heart. Like I would go to worship and it was like I had an unconfessed sin.
Interesting.
It's so weird. And it was just because I wasn't living in obedience. Anyway, so once I was like, let's do this.
I love that because you feel like you're supposed to be super thrilled about it. But so much of parenting is kind of like, oh, I know it's the right thing to do. And this is something I'm going to do, but it's going to be hard.
Yes. But I think what God did in that has grown my faith and my trust in him like leaps and bounds, because everything that happened was like, it happened so timely and so fast. We got her, Becca, within 9 months. Like it was like the, once I said yes, it was a pregnancy.
Huh.
And we went through an agency where the birth mom chooses us and she chose us. And yeah. And Becca is just, she's amazing to me. And so I just feel like I get to sit, well, I sit shotgun to all my kids' life, but she's going to be a fun one. I have no idea what God's going to do with her, but I'm glad I get to be a part of what he is going to do with her. So I don't even know what question I was answering.
It does. I mean, I don't know either.
I mean, this is just what happens on podcasts. I know.
Whatever. You don't even listen.
I know. I'm horrible.
So funny.
I was talking to a friend the other day and her kids are all about to be in school. And I said, what are you going to do? She goes, I think I'm going to start listening to podcasts.
There you go. I love it.
So there's a goal.
There's a goal. So good. Okay. So you said that something else you kind of struggle with sometimes is wanting to top other moms. Like you want to be the best at stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you wish you were like super the best at? Like what do you wish your mom's superpower could be?
So that's part of the people pleasing disease, you know, of wanting to like kill it in all areas. But I think as I have been a stay at home mom, like, okay, so there's just so much. Kay Wima, she is an author and she wrote this book about comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually led a Bible study I was in for a while. And so
what's the book called?
I'm happy for you. Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Isn't that a funny title?
That is funny.
I think I let someone borrow that book.
That's fine. I can look it up.
Anyway, so we were talking while she's in the thoughts of writing this book. In our Bible study, we were talking about this. And it reminded me about, I got in Rob's car one time and I was getting ready to go to work. I maybe had one, maybe I was pregnant with the second one. And it was an old theologian talking about like, hey, when we get to heaven, like we're not going to be comparing each other anymore. Like that's just such a seed of the flesh, like of what we do as human beings, is that we're always, there's a healthy comparison. You know, I really do think if I have a lens on that's healthy, if I see a mom that's killing it in an area, mm-hmm. do not be like, I got to beat her, but like, how can I learn from her?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's healthy, but I feel like most of us, and I'm going to put myself in that category, can tend to lean towards the, why is she better than me category? Like, what am I doing wrong? We either go feel the, oh, sad for poor me, or how can I top her? And so, or Leslie Berry thinks that sometimes. And so what I've been thinking, I've just been praying like, hey, Lord, I love that you just showed me a piece of who you are through that mom. Mm. You know, like she's doing something that is easy for her. Like she's in her sweet spot, you know? Yeah. And so because she's in her sweet spot, she's doing something that is attracting others. And that's what the Lord does, attracts others to him. And so I don't know. I've just been putting that in my mind and then just been like, hey, could you teach me? Like, I don't know. It can be anything from cooking to working out to like crafting. I don't know. To like decorating my home, to making fun activities for my kids, for having a, am I giving my kids classical literature or am I letting them read Diary of a Wimpy Kid too much? You know, just all of this stuff that makes me like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the most life transforming, like, or I like to read, like memorize chunks of scripture.
Yeah.
And it takes me a stinking long time because I like to just kind of sit on it. Uh-huh. But Philippians 2 is kind of my thing. And like 2:3-4, it's like, you know, consider others better than yourself, you know? Just don't only look to the interests of yourself, but let's go to the interests of others. That's a big Leslie Berry paraphrase. But like, just considering someone better than myself? Are you kidding me? Like, and then if you keep on reading, it talks about like, hey, just like Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross and considered him, I'm like, oh,
I see the connection.
You know, like the whole dying to yourself thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think when I get so like, oh, the game is that we're supposed to serve others. Like the game on this earth that is going to end and that we've got to find reconciliation with the Lord. I totally believe it's through Jesus Christ and his blood. It's to love and serve each other and run the race hard here.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be living it up there if we know Jesus Christ and proclaim him. So,
yeah, I love that. And you do. I really enjoyed getting to know you super, super so much. Okay. So you also said you're memorizing Hebrews 11, the kind of.
Are you going to, don't make me quote
on
it.
On your mark. Get set.
Now, Faith, I'm just joking.
What do you like about that? Why'd you choose that one?
I've done a couple. I kind of choose them based on like where I am in life.
Okay.
And so I did Proverbs 3 a couple years ago, kind of like whenever we were adopting Becca over the whole trust thing. Like, okay. I got this. And so it's been a while and I need to choose something new. And so I did Hebrews 11 because it walks through all the rock stars of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it, it's like, these are the craziest people in the world. Like,
yeah, they are some whack jobs for sure.
They are. Like, I love like where it talks about by faith Noah, when shown things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. People were probably, I mean, making fun and bullying him. Crazy man. I'm sure they're like, he is a whack job over there building a boat.
Yeah.
They had never seen rain come down, you know?
Yeah. So crazy.
And that's crazy. People are like, we think we found the ark, yada, yada. So I think the more I get in my faith, the more I realize like I am believing things that are totally crazy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, Noah, Abraham's like, oh, I'm just going to leave and I'm going to go wander around and tell some people this is my land because this is what God said. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Old woman Sarah having a baby in her 90s. That's crazy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I believe these things. Yeah, it's totally cool. And I think we can be so far removed from them that they don't seem crazy. And we're like, yeah, you should totally believe it. But I'm like, the more I read scripture and the more I read what God's done, I'm like, it is crazy, but what he did for us is even crazier. And so I don't know. I think being a Christian, if I'm going to do this gig, I want to do it all the way. And so that goes back to my sin pattern of people pleasing. Like, I cannot worry if I'm building a boat, which I don't, he's not, he already promised Emily that he's not going to do that again.
Yeah. So you don't really need
to. Yeah, but let's just say I had to build a boat. Like, I'd have to not care about what everybody was saying.
You know, and we, if you think about it, he is asking us to do weird things like build a boat, you know? And I found that when I was overseas and I was in missions, I was fine telling people who didn't look like me about Jesus because they already knew I was different. But I really struggle telling people about Jesus here because I really don't want them to think I'm weird. And I know that it's weird, but I also know that it's true. So there's that, you know, even as we reach out and talk to people, you know, like our JP, the pastor, says to ask people, do you have a faith? as a good way to start. I would like really rather not go out of my house sometimes than ask people if they have a faith because I don't want them to think I'm weird. And so that's kind of like building a boat, you know, in our daily
life. So good. Yes. And but I'm encouraged by what they did, you know, and that's the whole reason why that whole chapter is written. It's just like, hey, look what these people have done. And be encouraged, like they people have gone before you to build boats. So come on, build your boat, you know?
Build your boat. Yeah, so good. Okay, so tell me about self-care. How do you take care of yourself?
Four kids. Self-care. Okay, so communicate with my husband that I need self-care. Again, is a duh, but I got to remember Rob Berry can't read my brain. And so I need to let him in. And so, hey, babe, this is too much. Let's look at our week. We have to meet and look at our calendars. I wish I could say we faithfully do that once a week, but usually I'm like, hey, here's what tomorrow looks like. Mm-hmm. But self-care, I think I've realized I love quiet. And for me, like having a quiet home rejuvenates me. And I'm such an extrovert. Deep conversations with friends without a kid interrupting me, I don't know how I just said that, but I just said it like that. That's what happens on podcasts. Anyway. I need that time. And so I have intentionally sought out other moms to swap with. Like I can't put all my kids in childcare. That defeats the purpose of staying at home. But but where's the balance of, I have one in preschool right now. And then Becca I swap with a mom. So that's where she is right now. And so we swap every other week and it's good. Like that's a self-care for me. Like, okay. I love going to the store by myself. I just went to the store to myself. I went to the bank. Girl, I was killing it. I had a great conversation on the phone with a friend and another friend. I went to her house, saw what she's been doing, looked at her new chairs, and I scored an ottoman from her. She's like, hey, you want this ottoman? These things would have not happened if my kids were there, mind
you. Good point. Yes, I love it.
Self-care. So I think it depends on like what self-care. I mean, if you're asking me what I do, like beautifying way, I get my eyebrows waxed. That's like $7. That's an easy, cheap, makes me feel clean.
Yeah, I do too. I do. I get them threaded.
Oh, I haven't done that one. It's probably more organic that way.
Oh, I really don't know why I get them threaded, but it's $5. So I'm really saving money. Why are you throwing all that money away for $7?
I know. You still need to mentor me at Aldi and now threading.
Threading. Yeah. I don't know. It's just really, I don't know why I go there, but I like it.
I'm into it. I could do it. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers self-care, but
yeah,
I have to plan. I think planning for that and just because at the end of the day, I'm not God and I can't hold all the worlds together and I have to have rest, you know?
Yeah, we do. I love it.
Okay. Did I say that was another self-care that I do?
You said you eat rice bowls.
Yes. I love to sit on the front porch at noon. I like the feel of sun on me.
So good. That doesn't burn you. You're kind of fair.
Thank you. Like for 5 or 10 minutes, like when I put Becca down, I go sit in the sun. So I don't know why I love that. And I like planting plants. I love plants. I love flowers. That was another thing. I got a $40 gift card to go buy plants.
So good.
Be known.
Be known. Do it. Sign up genius for all your, maybe we can make our own sign up genius for all the gifts we want. Okay, so we're almost out of time. What can you not stop talking about?
What can I not stop talking about?
Do you remember what you said?
I don't know. What did I say?
You said World War II books.
I know.
I don't understand the point. I mean, why?
I'm in a book club. This is one of my self-care things.
Okay.
And we read like a lot of historical fiction. And I've just... So if you want to read something that's just one of the best World War II books out there is Nightingale. It's so good.
It is
good.
On my nightstand. And I can't. What? I don't know. It's not that I can't get into it. It's that I'm not opening it. I feel like it's going to be sad because everyone says it is.
Totally sad.
Totally sad. Why do you want to read about the war? This is a general question I have for everybody who loves these.
Well, I think it's the stories. It's the people's lives. Like I love stories about people's lives, like, and perseverance and relentlessness. So like, what did you do in the war? And it's amazing how people survive. And it gives me encouragement. I'm like, God, we are so living in a blessed time. I don't think we understand. And so I think reading about history, which didn't even happen that long ago, is like giving me a perspective.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And no, so that's good. I think I'm afraid that reading it will make me afraid of what might happen in the future. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, totes. But I think I get so into the people.
Okay. I'm going to try it. No, because I have rechecked it out and rechecked it out and rechecked it out at the library. The library is just going to say, fine, it's yours. Okay? Because you won't give it back.
I just need to read it. I know. Oh, my gosh. I had a pet peeve to tell you about my kids. Did you want to know that?
I do. I want to hear about it. I forgot to ask about it.
My oldest son, like, loves Lecrae. Do you know who Lecrae is? Christian rapper Lecrae.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. That was a lie. Do you know him?
Well, I mean, I thought you were like talking about LaCroix, the water, and you were just saying it wrong.
No.
So I was trying to figure out if I should correct you.
And we're going to edit that out. No. Okay. LaCroix.
Okay.
So, and then so brings forth them, like him, like trying to rap a lot, like with his hands, like he's a DJ.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And then like putting his hands up, like he's got rhymes to produce.
And as if rhyme production was happening?
Yeah, like, and so he walks around the house doing that.
Okay. And rapping while he, or just the moves?
Yeah, like, and he's making up his own, but I'm like, yeah, no, stop.
This isn't and your so, gifting.
Yeah, like, or like, if they all do dance moves that I'm like, I watch me. Like this, you would wonder how old I am in this conversation, but I'm like, guys, watch me. Like, this is a good dance move. Like, no, mom. I'm like, no, really, like, that was awesome. And they're like, no, this is awesome. And it's not awesome. Then I'm like, I'm tired of like
having dance offs.
I can't prove that I've got better moves than you. And then I'm like, I'm talking to an 11-year-old. Like, this is going nowhere.
I love that you're trying to have better dance moves than him.
I know. Oh my gosh. But I think if I could end on a funny story, like my oldest son is just full of quirky, funny things. My other children are really funny too. But Jackson made a chipmunk club in kindergarten with his friends, and they put their hands by their mouth and they would talk like that.
Nice.
So
I love the hands by the mouth. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like,
I wish you guys could see this visual. It's good.
Oh my gosh. So just imagine a chipmunk with little hands, and he would talk, and he taught his friends how to do that and made the club. And they would talk like that all through recess until the teacher banned them talking like chipmunks in class. But then they would get in our car and they would all get in the back seat and talk like chipmunks. I mean, I stopped the car one day. I was like, guys, you can't be a chip. You cannot participate in the chipmunk club in the car. You can do that all you want. That's like blowing a whistle in the house. Like, you can do that outside.
Yeah, that sounds
terrible. And you know, you say things that you're like, I can't believe I just had that conversation.
Exactly. That is so weird. But how, so did it eventually go away on its own first for a mom who's got super annoying things happening like that in their daily lives?
Yeah. It did. Like, it's funny because when you had that question, I'm like, that's probably, and that was 5 years ago. That was the topper. Like, and I was talking to one of my best friends because her son was also in the club, and she was more adamant about, she's like, I straight up pulled over Leslie. And I said, I looked at all of them. I said, if I hear another chipmunk voice, like, I mean, she, and we were laughing about that today because they're fifth graders now, but they were kinder then. And I'm like, they don't even care about the chipmunk club anymore, you know?
Now you're grieving the loss.
Yeah, it's so funny. And so my kids are into making clubs. They had, my middle one had the Bubby Club because he goes by Bubba. And so therefore he made, I don't know if that's egocentric and or narcissistic, but he made a Bubby Club.
So what happened in the Bubby Club?
Exactly.
Okay.
Something at recess, and there were children's feelings hurt because their children were in it. Yeah, that's my kid making those clubs. Awesome. Until, so, yeah, that's when you get the letter sent from the teacher, like, we are banning all clubs, you know, because I'm like, wait, school-sponsored clubs? No, kid-led clubs, you know. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is from the Bubby Club, isn't it? The Bubby Club is breaking hearts. Well, my daughter likes to crawl around at recess, you know, snarling as a snarling wolf.
I think I saw her doing that at church.
Of course you did. That's how you know it's her. She's growling.
She's awesome. I love that.
We just got our ears pierced today. And that was, so she wanted to go. She wanted to go. She wanted to go. And I said, listen, I have to talk to Leslie in a little bit. And so as much as I would like to sit in the chair while you say, no, mommy, no, mommy, I'm scared. I want to create space for that. But I need you just to either do it or not, because we can't, you know. And so she did. She just was like, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. And I'm anyway, so then they were looking at me like, should we really do this? I'm like, she wanted to do it. You know, I'm telling them this wasn't my idea. This promise was her idea, but she got so freaked out about it. But we went to a place that does at the same time.
Yeah.
The same years. I mean, you know, yeah. All the years.
I mean, I totally want the guns and get it over with at the same time.
Yeah. And they were like, okay, close your eyes. Cause they had the guns. They knew what they were dealing with. And they had the guns behind their backs just to like, cause they could tell she was freaking out. Cause she was freaking out when they were putting dots on, like coming at her with a pen. She was like, no. So anyway, so they're like, close your eyes. And she's like, no. And so anyway, it was intense there for a little bit.
But so how is she? Is she healing?
Oh, she's fine. And that's how it always is. Like pulling teeth the other day, I had to hold her down and pull out her tooth. And I thought the neighbors were going to call the police because it was just so much screaming. But like she stops eating, she stops drinking, she stops talking because her tooth, she's afraid it's going to come out. She's afraid. I mean, it's like so. And then you feel like you're abusing them. But it's like, no, like you're dehydrating. This is not good.
Yes. I was telling a friend the other day, I was like, I feel like I have to teach them everything. And I know that's very another general statement and a duh statement, but it's like, no, literally, like mucus management, how to blow your nose. How many ear infections happen because they can't blow their stinking nose?
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
You know how to pull a tooth.
Oh, yeah. It is every time, like the first time. Every time we pull a tooth, it's like, we've never done it before, like it's going to hurt, and it doesn't hurt. So, gosh. And then that's when the tooth fairy doesn't come because the tooth fairy got tired and forgot.
Always forget.
After all the trauma of getting the tooth out, like the tooth fairy needs to remember, but she doesn't.
I am the worst tooth fairy. The worst. They'll get up and be like, Mom, the tooth fairy forgot to come. I run, I like Rob stands like with them and I'm like, let me go check. And then that's when I'm like, oh, dude, it kind of like fell. I mean, I'm horrible.
Okay. So what I do, because that's really nice. What I do is I say, well, I think you must have put it somewhere that they couldn't see it. So I like make it their fault. I'm terrible. They're like, oh, I did it wrong. I'm like, you must have done it wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Your way
well,
is less going,
I'm pretty sure what you just said is I've said that before. I've had like 20 teeth now, so I'm good. Like there's some trial and error, Emily. You can do it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, Leslie, thanks for talking to me. I know that it seems like, what am I even going to talk about and everything? Everybody doesn't know, but I personally got a lot out of this and I know everyone else will too. So thank you.
Thank you for letting me do this. Thank you for telling me to do this, actually. You're a podcast mentor.
Thank you. That means so much, especially coming from the person who does not listen to podcasts.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and crown you that.
So. Awesome. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Okay, girl. Bye.
Right, bye. Okay, I don't know about you, but I got so much out of that. I always do when I come away from talking with Leslie. Her excitement is seriously contagious, and it really makes me stop and think, what is contagious about me? In fact, that's a really great idea for our strategy to struggle well this week. Maybe this week we have a think about what spreads to people who are in our presence. I am pretty sure for me, it's not like a giant zest for life. That's pretty convicting. This week, maybe we could all consider what we want people to leave our presence, quote unquote, infected with. What is contagious about us? And if the answer is not something we super love, then we need to make some adjustments. A lie that I believe is that I need to feel something before I get going with it, and that's actually complete baloney. To draw an analogy that us moms understand, we ask our kids all the livelong day to do precisely the opposite of what they feel like doing. Don't hit your sister in the face. Please stop eating your boogers. Or for me lately, it would be so magical if you'd stop vomiting on the dinner table. But he feels like vomiting on the dinner table, so he's going with it, right? We do not think that they need to wait until their internal motivation peaks to obey us, but we somehow want to wait until ours does before we obey God, right? He tells us in Hebrews 10 to stir up one another to love and good works. We are to be one another's cheerleaders. Leslie referenced it, but Philippians 2 says to do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but to humbly value others above ourselves. If I am just concerned about spreading my worries or my own sour attitude, I am certainly not stirring anyone up prep or considering them. So that is something I'm going to focus on this week, thinking about what is contagious about my presence. So maybe if you've got that down, you could struggle well this week by letting your spouse off the hook for filling you up by meeting all your needs. It is just not realistic and will only leave you disappointed and them frustrated. Maybe you go ahead and write a list out to give them a clue about how to be successful. I know it doesn't make sense to us because we understand ourselves, but honestly, ladies, we are real puzzlers to men. I mean, I think I am a puzzler to myself. Women are confusing. So something I did this week was I went and got that Beth Moore book that she talked about, So Long Insecurity. I checked it out at the library. My husband was so proud of me that I did not just go buy it. I'm growing as a person. So maybe you give that one a try or the other ones that she mentioned. I have linked all of those in the podcast show notes over at momstrugglingwell.com. Something I heard Leslie say several times this weekend at the retreat was that one particular girl was mentoring her in this area, or a different girl was mentoring her in another area. If you think about it that way, if you have tons of mentors for lots of different ideas, and she's not talking about like they have weekly meetings about anything. She's just meaning, this is the girl that I asked for this thing that I need to get better at. There's no competition that way if you're trying to get them to teach you something. Ladies, life is too short. And as Christ followers, our message is just too important to get all bent out of shape about whether or not we measure up in all the things. Maybe this week you start shifting your internal monologue from one of comparing yourself to another mom or a woman and asking the woman that you admire to teach you more about that thing that they're amazing at. I loved what she said about building boats and not even caring about what other people think. Listen, if God is putting something in you, but it seems super out there or weird or impossible, you're in good company. Most everyone in the Bible was asked by God to step way out of their comfort zones. As my friend Ellie Holcomb says, she's just my friend in my imagination. But as she says, where he leads us to go, there's a Red Sea road. If you kind of have no idea what I mean by Red Sea road, in Exodus, the Israelites were getting out of Egypt where they were being treated terribly, but they really couldn't get out because there was kind of like this giant body of water there. But God's like, no problem. And he just split it open and they just kind of walked through. But then he closed it up when the bad guys were getting in the water. So God is super big and he can do that stuff. And so if he's asking you to do something that seems weird, that kind of makes sense. That is how he operates. He operates in the bigger than we can imagine realm. In the show notes, I have linked a really great resource that I love called The Bible Project. I linked the Exodus one where it talks about the Red Sea. The Bible Project is something that I use every single time I go to start a new study of a different book because it kind of gives you the overview. It's animated, it's concise, it's interesting. Anyway, it tells you how that book of the Bible kind of puzzle piece fits into the overall storyline of the Bible. It is super good for people who know a lot about the Bible and really great for people who don't know anything. I bet you fall somewhere along that spectrum. So I'll link to that and you can check that out. Please come find the Mom Struggling Well community on Facebook or Instagram at Mom Struggling Well. On Wednesday nights on Instagram, we talk about Struggle Well Wednesday. Super fun. We get to catch up on all the crazy stuff that's going on in our homes. You guys never fail to disappoint me. No. I mean, you never disappoint me. You never fail to disappoint me. That's not what I meant. It is sad. It is funny. You bring all the feelings, and I love Wednesday nights. So make sure to meet us there. When you go to Amazon to do your shopping, don't go right to Amazon. First, go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and it's going to get you to the regular Amazon page. But all your purchases will use the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link, and a tiny percentage goes back to support the show. You can even bookmark that page, and then every time you go to Amazon, you just use that. And it would be so helpful to help me cover the cost of the show. Y'all, what you're doing is so important. It's important forever because our kids' little souls are eternal. So when you are being completely whined at and covered in body fluids that you didn't ask to be covered in, when in the same 5 minutes you are so filled with love for your tiny people and an unspeakable amount of frustration, just know this is all worth it. The Lord is so pleased with what you're up to. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed. He is tender towards you, and he thinks you are pretty stinking great. I hope this episode has given you a lot to think about, and I hope you have a great week of struggling well.